Lisa Borsier, as promised, with us here this morning from the Horry County School District following Monday night's Board of Education meeting. Lisa, it's been a while since you and I have been able to catch up. I hope all is well on your end.
Yeah, everything is going great. We just wrapped up first semester and started second semester, so we're on our downside for the end of the school year, so
all
we're
right,
ready.
You're already looking at the end of the light at the end of the tunnel here in the middle of the frigid January temperatures. But school this week on as scheduled. Do you ever consider, does the board, when these sorts of decisions are made, when we see these extreme cold temperatures? Because sometimes I'll see some delays for school districts, mainly in the south, when we deal with these sorts of weather streaks that we're in right now.
Right. Well, typically we don't alter the schedule for cold weather. We do have heaters on our buses and our schools. Most of them have backup generators, so we feel pretty confident with our facilities. But we do have an internal weather team. We have direct contact with Horry County Emergency Management, National Weather Service. We even talk directly to our local meteorologist here. But our team is made up of officials through the Transportation Department, maintenance, custodial staff, safety and security, athletics, learning services. We even have a GIS analyst. So we get together. We probably will start to get together soon this week to start talking about potential weather for this upcoming weekend as well. So we kind of monitor that situation, over a time period, and then we'll make a recommendation to the superintendent and the cabinet if we have any suggestions to the changing of the school schedule. So I'm sure we'll be meeting within the next day or two to see what this weekend potentially could look like.
See, for all the folks out there that say our kids and the lowering of the bar, when I grew up and walked 2 miles uphill both ways in the frigid temperatures, we have not wussified our kids that far just yet. Even though we've got cold temperatures, our kids are still at the bus stop and going to school just like you and I did, Lisa, as kids.
That's right. That's right. Although, Facebook comments, can be interesting at times.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
But anyway,
I mean, how often do you dive into those comments when something is posted on the school district, Facebook page?
Friday when we announced that we would, wait and make a call no later than 11 on Sunday, nothing. But then Sunday turned around when we were announced regular school schedule, and it could get entertaining at times, but, it's all good.
Leave it at that. That's why you're in the PR business. You know how to walk that fine line here with us this morning. Lisa Borsier with Horry County Schools. Anything of interest up for discussion yesterday at the Board of Ed meeting?
Well, we did have a facilities meeting prior to that, really giving the board an update regarding the St. James Elementary Replacement School. So we did go over kind of a timeline for construction. We plan to bring back the schematic design for approval at our next board meeting, and we're ready to begin construction. We'll really begin construction this summer. We'll actually start all the site work packaging to prepare for the construction, and then the major construction will begin in January of 2027, and we'll be prepared to open up the new school in August of 2028. This is kind of new for us. We're actually building a school on the same property as the existing school. Something a little bit different, a little tricky. Some people called it a surgical procedure that has to be exact, but we've got a great team of contractors, architects, and engineers. They are the same ones that built the Ten Oaks Elementary School and the Pine Island Elementary School that we just opened in August, too. So it's a similar prototype that will have a nice look and flair of the St. James community area regarding their mascots and their colors. So we're excited for the project, and we'll make sure that we keep everybody informed. We actually have a community meeting coming up on February 5th at 4 p.m. for parents and staff and community members that want to come out and kind of go. We'll go over the same information we went over with the board yesterday to help answer any questions. And, of course, we'll keep those ongoing communications with our parents, especially because of any shifting in some of the drop-off lines for car riders and things like that. Those are very important to parents, so we want to make sure that we keep them posted throughout the project.
And it should be much of an issue. Obviously, I know when the district allocated dollars to this project, it was a couple of years ago, like anything else.
Yeah.
Inflation and construction costs, they go up, so there will have to be a few extra dollars thrown to this when it's all said and done, when we hit that shovel into ground, right, this summer?
That's right. So we do have about $66 million through our capital plan that has been budgeted for this project, and so we are still working on the funding costs for that. We have seen a little bit of increase in technology and some insurance, but we will make sure we bring that additional information to the board if we find any shortfall along the way. I believe we created the original budget for this school in 2022. So as you said, some pricing has changed since then. So.
Well, just again goes to show, right, it oftentimes might be a lengthy process, but once the construction starts, gets moving, like we saw over in Carolina Forest, I mean, next thing you know, the schools are open and kids are in the classroom.
It's amazing. They're beautiful buildings. This school will also have a capacity of 1,200 students, so we're looking for a little bit growth as well for that area. Desperately needed. St. James Elementary School is one of our older schools, and so we're excited for the community, and I think the teachers are just as excited as well as the students and the parents.
Just talk about in terms of our ever-growing region as it relates to keeping up or at least attempting and doing your best to keep up with that growth, how vital the capital projects, penny sales tax is for the region.
Huge. If it wasn't for the voters that approved their extension on the penny sales tax, it would be very tough to do our capital projects. We have over 8 million square foot of space between 59 schools and some other facilities that we have, and it's expensive. You know, putting a new roof is millions of dollars, and so we're very fortunate to have that capital funds coming through. It will raise about an additional $2 billion over the next 15 years. So 2039, I may not be around at that point, but I'm sure we'll be looking to extend that penny sales tax for another 15 years. But, you know, when we talk about growth, we're talking about a little bit of a reduction in our enrollment. We have seen an influx of charter schools coming, and we actually are expecting to have three additional charter schools open for next school year. So we're interested in why people could be leaving the school district, so we've reached out to a lot of those families, and basically they want flexibility and access to more program options, and so that's what we're doing. We proposed some possibilities, some pilot programs going in, not just the high school, but some middle school options as well, and really looking at not only middle school and high school, but K through 12 options as well. So we're looking at, you know, more dual enrollment programs, adding more career tech opportunities, even a flex online program, and looking even starting up our full-time virtual program that we had during COVID. Our younger students didn't do as well in that type of platform, so we really want to start it off at the high school level. So we've got a lot of work to do. We're going to come back to the board during our budget process over the next couple of months, because some of those programs will probably require some additional funding. But really trying to be flexible with scheduling for our students and parents, as well as, again, enhancing some of our program options.
How important is it, you know, in having these discussions? As you said, we've seen a move nationwide where more and more parents, families are open, you know, to this idea of school choice. Because oftentimes, I guess one of the maybe complaints or one of the things that would pop up is that the public school system is sort of set in their ways and unwilling, you know, to look outside the box. You know, how do you bring that mindset into the public school system to think outside the box, to meet the families and the kids where they're at?
Right. It's huge. And, you know, people are looking for charter, virtual, homeschool options that are out there, and we're seeing that grow. Other states, they see a lot more than what we're seeing here locally and maybe through South Carolina, but it's there. And I think if we want to retain our students and our families, we need to make sure that, like you said, we're meeting them where they are and the needs that they have, and being able to provide those options and opportunities. I think it's great, and we're excited. It's a lot of work, but we're up for the challenge, and hopefully we'll be announcing some great opportunities in the next several months.
And I'll have to say that you know, you and the district as a whole, one of the few districts that I've spoken to and have worked alongside over the years from North Carolina, you know, down here to South Carolina, that want the competition and feel like, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, and it's not just one or the other. You know, let's provide options and, you know, allow parents and kids to make the best choice that they see fit when it comes to their education.
That's right. And I think us as parents, and when we have more than one child, you know, you raise them almost different sometimes. You know, some react to different discipline and different challenges than other children, and that's what we're seeing just in a larger quantity of students that we have. But I think Horry County Schools is great, and we want to make sure that we're planning for our students' future and not the adults' present. So we're really, you know, we got a great superintendent. He's up for all kinds of challenges, not only reading challenges, but looking at really a K through 12 opportunities.
Hey, lastly, and I know, you know this was a few weeks ago, but since we didn't catch up, county decided to, or the schools rather, decided to purchase some more land up in the Little River mm-hmm. area for future facilities. Can you give us the details on that?
Well, yeah. So we're trying to expand our land portfolio and trying to look 10 to 15 years out. Finding land and dry land can be challenging in the areas where we need it. To build a high school, you're really looking at least 80-plus acres of land. And if you look throughout our county, sometimes that's hard to find. So we really need to take advantage of those opportunities when we see it. We bought some land between Conway and Ainer off of Enoch Road earlier last year. And then we have just did a purchase as well in the Little River area. We don't have specific plans for those locations, but if we don't start scooping up some of those possibilities, then they may not be there in 10 and 15 years when we need them. So it's nice to pre-plan for the future.
A lot of forward thinking going on within the local school district. Per our first update of the new year with our friend Lisa Borsier, Horry County Schools. She joins us towards the back end of the month on Tuesdays, usually following the Board of Education meeting Monday night. Lisa, thanks for the update here this morning. Hope you enjoy the next month ahead. Stay warm, and we'll catch up again soon.
Will do. Thank you.
It's Lisa Borsier. Very informative conversation with you here this morning on all things going on within the Horry County School District.